there, and welcome to another exciting, well, it's going to be exciting, because we had a very special guest joining us this episode, to Chamber Chat. It's Sweeping the Nation, and we've been trying to book this guest for many, many years. We had to get some contract negotiations. We had to get, like, certain things for him. He wanted just red M&Ms. All right, so I think we've got that, a big bowl. We can't show you here, but it's they're delicious, right? Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's right in front of
Tasty.
Me.
Tasty, exactly. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my co-host.
I'm Cameron. I'm not going to say my last name, though.
No, don't do it, because I mess it up. I mess it up all the time. Cameron's going to be joining me. She's going to be co-host. Now, Cameron, every time we have a guest, you rarely ask a question. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to point to me. Okay. I want you to have a question for our guest. Because this is Chamber Chat. It's about Hueytown. This is the person in Hueytown we want to interview. This is a big guest. It's like Johnny Carson. You know who Johnny Carson is?
Nope.
Of course not. No, of course not. You know who Jay Leno is?
Nope.
Of course not. Give me a talk show host you know.
Oh, I was going to just say a celebrity. I don't know any talk show hosts.
This is what you're doing. You're doing a talk show.
Wait, he's not really much talk show, but he does talk on a show.
Okay.
He's more of a weatherman.
James Mann?
Yeah.
Yes. Had the privilege of introducing James, was it last year at the prayer breakfast?
Yeah. It was.
I brought the house down. My Jay Jacks material is always going to be good for a laugh.
Absolutely. Anything to do with, you just say the name and everybody's
People are ready to make fun. They're ready to jump on. If you don't recognize the voice, it's Steve Ware, the mayor of Hueytown, Mayor Rail. Welcome. Yeah, go ahead and clap for him. There you go.
Thank you.
Cameron.
Hey, I'm just glad to be here. Like you said, we've tried to set this up several times, and something always happened, and I couldn't.
Well, you're a busy man.
Be here. Well,
man about town, busy man, always got something going on.
I'm telling you, life is very fast, to say the least.
Well, we're gonna get to mayor and all that, but what we like to do on the show is we like to talk about how you got from point A to point B.
Right.
And so we're gonna start with that. So you are. I know you went to school at Bessemer Academy. Did you grow up in Bessemer, Hueytown, kind of the western side?
I grew up in Hueytown, a little community called Garywood.
I know Garywood.
Actually, we weren't even in the city limits of Hueytown. We were considered county, and my dad was influential in getting a petition signed for us to come into the city of Hueytown. I remember I was about probably 9-10 years old, and I can remember walking with him from door to door to get enough signatures on the petition to petition the city to bring us into the city.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. I remember the night I was sworn in as mayor. It was kind of an emotional thing for me, you know, because all I could think about was Dad and how
full circle moment.
Yeah, he wanted us to be in the city of Hueytown, and now his son was a mayor. So.
Were you zoned to go where?
We're zoned to go to Brighton. It was right before my first grade year began, so I went to private first grade in Hueytown at Miss Goodwin's first grade. It was on Wickstead Road.
Miss Goodwin's first grade. That's what it's called? The Fighting Tigers of Miss Goodwin's
That's
first grade.
It. Peggy Clark was our teacher. Super, super lady. Love her to death.
Yeah. So was there a – where would you went to high school? There wasn't a Brighton High School, right?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, there was.
There was.
At
okay.
That time.
Okay. Did sure not know was. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So we actually – my second grade year is when I went to Bessemer Academy, and my sister – wanted to come back to Hueytown High School. So we actually rented an apartment on Ray Avenue.
Oh, you sound like a future football player
there
here going
go.
To us.
and we lived on Ray Avenue during the week and went home to Garywood on the weekend so she could go to Hueytown. But then her senior year, they had a program called RLC, and she got in that, and you could live anywhere. So we moved back to Garywood, and I loved Bessemer Academy. I didn't want to go anywhere else, and so Mom and Dad sent me there, and my little sister went there as well. So
go Rebels.
Go Rebels, class of 84.
Did you play football?
I sure did.
Who was the coach?
Coach Gary Loggins. He was our head coach.
So we are pretty good, or?
Oh, yeah. Our
look at that. Listen to that. Well, we were good.
My senior year was the best team that Bessemer Academy, at that point, had had. We went to the state championship and played Marengo Academy, which was a huge school.
Did y'all win?
No. No.
Don't give me the score.
I'm trying to forget that.
Well, Bessemer Academy, for a lot of people that don't know, the the best football program in the state in a long way right now is Thompson.
Oh yeah,
Mark Freeman.
Yes,
and it started at Bessemer Academy.
He did.
I was the public address announcer his first year, so I got to see it up close.
Yeah.
The PA announcer, and he went from they didn't win a game the previous year or two.
Right.
They won 4 or 5, and he ended up winning, what, 2 or 3 state championships.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mark Freeman was actually in high school there when I was a little kid, but I don't remember him as a football player. I remember him as a pitcher.
Baseball player.
Yeah,
okay.
He was extremely good baseball player.
I think he coached baseball, too. Because, you know, Bessemer Academy, their coaches would coach several sports. Yeah, because you didn't have a big budget for that.
Yeah, that's true. Our football coach was a wrestling coach, so I love that career.
So, leaving Bessemer Academy, did you kind of know what you wanted to do? I mean, I'm sure it's early for politics, but what did you know where you were going?
Oh, yeah, politics had never crossed my mind at that point. I grew up wanting to be a policeman. That's what I always wanted to do.
Really?
My oldest brother was a Birmingham policeman, was like with Birmingham 32 years. And
wow.
That's
good for him.
What I grew
Great.
Up wanting
yeah.
to do,
yeah.
you know. And in between then, in Garywood, where I grew up across the highway, it was nothing but woods from there all the way to the pipe shop, nothing but woods. They started building this building over there, and we would go across the road on our bikes and just, you know, ride trails through those woods. They started building this building, and everybody said, oh, it's going to be a bank. It's going to be a bank. Wound up being a funeral home. Yeah. And so I met some of the guys that worked there,
okay,
including your dad when he worked some over there covering, you know, evenings for there.
Just a little backstory. So Steve grew up working with my dad for my dad for years. And I've known Steve since I was a little bitty thing. I was little at one time. Yes. And I know what you're asking, Cameron. I know what you're thinking. I was young. I was small. It was great times. But you kind of got into it. And did you like when you were first doing it, did you think, oh, this is something I want to do? Or was it just kind of a gradual thing?
It was kind of a gradual thing. I mean, it interested me a lot. You know? And I think a lot of people get into that business out of curiosity.
I'm sure.
You know? Yeah. But I never thought that I would stay in that business. And it kind of chose me, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody can picture me doing anything else now, including myself. So,
well, wouldn't you agree? It's the kind of career that a lot of people can't do or don't want to do.
Absolutely.
But it's something that, man, people need to do.
Absolutely. It's got to be done.
They're invaluable. It's, you know, and people, my dad, this is hilarious, and it used to drive me crazy. My dad would pick me up from school in a hearse.
Yeah.
Now imagine now. Now, Cameron, imagine for a second. Gavin, imagine this. You're young, and you're in junior high, and you roll up, and your dad picks you up. Do you know how much I had to deal with and how much I had to stuff I had to listen to? Thank you, Dad.
Yeah.
Picking me up in a hearse.
Ask Jake about the time I picked him up from North Highlands. I mean, I had to.
No choice.
There was no choice.
I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, you can't tell Dad. He says, well, he had to pick you up. He's coming from your funeral. He has no choice.
That's right.
Well, as a kid, that didn't make sense to me. It makes sense now. But I'm like, well, just pick me up on a bike or just let me walk. Or I don't want to be picked up in a hearse.
I can remember Jake coming out with his backpack on. His eyes were about big as saucers and his mouth just dropped
open. He was going to catch it the next day.
Yeah, he couldn't even speak. Like, come on, son. He didn't say a word. He got in. And it was just like, oh, my gosh.
It was a very, very difficult childhood being picked up. It was tough times, very tough times. So, went to West Chapel. Then you went to the, people know this as the big white funeral home.
Yes.
4th Avenue.
Yep.
Brownster's been there for, what, over 100 years?
Since 27, I think.
Yeah, it's close to 100 years. Yeah. I mean, it's been there for a long time.
Yeah, gave me the creeps.
And you probably had that, but you got a great education there, though.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When I was working there with your dad, I think we were doing close to 600 calls a year
out
of that place.
Wow.
So it was, we were always hopping, that's for sure.
Never a slow moment there.
Nope, not at all.
So Debbie, I had the chance. This is even crazier. So when I was young, going to college, and they had people that spent the night at the funeral home. So my dad comes to me and says, "Hey, I'll pay you the entire night. I don't know if you're supposed to do this or not, but I'll pay you the whole night." All right. He said, "All you gotta do is spend the night at the funeral home." So I see Cameron looking at me. All right. So let me explain to you. So they had like an apartment dorm upstairs. Okay. So all I had to do. All right. So all I do was come to visitation and make coffee if people needed it. We had a lady, Mary Merle.
Yes.
Is that am I saying her name correctly?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Such a sweet, sweet super lady. Right. Rest in peace. You know, she was probably 80 then, and she could have walked circles around everybody in that building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She worked visitation. And so all I had to do was make coffee, hang out with her. And then when it closed, I had to spend the night. Now, first couple of nights, that was a very, very creepy night for me. But all I had to do was when the body had to be picked up, they would call me. I'd call the mortuary service and just let them in.
Yep.
And that's all I had to do. But I got paid the entire night. So I was getting paid, 24 hours, you know, the whole day for it. So it was good money.
Yeah.
But it was very, very difficult. Early on.
Oh, sure.
Because you know how that building creep, right?
Absolutely.
You stayed there many nights and you heard those noises.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if I've ever even told you this before, but years ago, there were some people that tried to steal some copper out of a substation down there. And one of them lost his life trying to do it. But to fix it, they waited quite a while, but they were going to have to turn the power off for most of Bessemer. And whose night was it to work in the funeral home that night? You're looking at him. Yes, sir.
Now imagine, dark. Yeah. See, I had to stay there. The power went out of it. Yeah.
I felt like the safest guy in Bessemer, man, because that place, as soon as the power shut off, you could hear a pin drop at the front of that building. And there was this huge crystal candelabra that stayed down in the lobby. I don't think it had ever even been used before. But yours truly grabbed that thing up because it had 12 candles around it. And I took it upstairs with me in the dorm before the power went out. Well, there's a motor scout policeman came by because the police were always coming in and out of there. And they came by that night just to check, make sure I was okay. Well, I heard somebody knocking on the door downstairs. And I'm like, what on earth? Who is knocking on the door? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. So that candelabra, I lit that thing, and I come down the stairs, and I could see his face before I got to the door. His eyes were huge. He goes, man, if I hadn't known that was you, I was fixing to get out of here. I couldn't see anything but candles floating down those stairs.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's, I'm telling you, you've never spent the – you've never I was there one time when a storm happened, and it knocked the power out. And I remember I'm sitting there in the dark, and there's really not a whole lot you can do when you're in the dark. This is before cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your cell phone did not, you know, it wasn't a smartphone.
No.
You basically played bowling on it if you were lucky. Right. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And this is the creepiest. But you're right. I was not scared because nobody's breaking in a funeral home. And if they do break in a funeral home, they're not after you.
No,
not
at all.
Yeah, you just go upstairs and say, hey, just lock up when you leave.
That's right. Second door on the left's wide open.
But you finally eventually became the manager at West Chapel. Mm-hmm. Which is, if you don't know, that's the one that used to be the old Food World, now by Audi.
That's right.
Yeah. And that was a very popular funeral home.
It was. That's where I first started, was right there. And so when I had the opportunity to come back there as the manager, I mean, I jumped all over it. That was 92 or 93.
Yeah. I remember you going to, I actually helped work some visitations there.
You did. You came and worked there with me several times.
Yeah, worked there with you several times. And Cameron, what do you think about that? I couldn't talk you into working at a funeral home?
No, like, I have nightmares every single night.
Trust me, it's amazing what the human mind can adapt to.
Oh, sure.
You would get to the point where you're like, it's not so bad. I'm just telling you, because I felt the same way you did. When my dad first asked me, I was like, I can't. There's no way. I mean, but then he's going to pay me all night. I said, I can make this. I can try to make this work.
I can make it happen.
I can try to make this happen.
But now you don't have that.
I don't stay there all night anymore. Yeah, and we were getting out of
services then. Came along, and you don't have to stay there all night.
Well, and I remember, again, there's certain milestones of where you're at, but I remember the Oak Grove 98 tornado.
Yes, sir, I remember.
And so I was still working there, and I was working a couple nights a week, but it happened to fall. And I remember going in to seeing what time I needed to be there, and I remember looking at that board. Yeah. And the board had, where you'd have the people that were, there were people that were deceased, and that board was just, the board was full, and then you had a page of people under it. And it was so sad. I just remember that so well.
I went out with our fire department the night that happened and stayed out with them all night. And then I remember calling Tracy from the old Rabbit's Barbecue, and the sun was coming up and you could see everything. And I told her, I said, if somebody blindfolded me as many times as I've been up and down this road my entire life, I couldn't have told you where I was. And then, you know, after that, then going back home, getting showered, cleaned up, and then going to the funeral home, to then help these people make arrangements for the, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Never.
And I think those are the types of moments where what you do, what my dad did, really matters.
Yes, sir.
People don't understand it.
No, they don't. You know? I made friends and met people during that time that I probably, I might not have ever met any other way, and they're lifelong friends now. You know how long that's been, and they're like family, and always will be.
Yeah. That's a sad time. If you, people that live through it, I remember that very well. I was young. Mm-hmm. I was young. So worked at the funeral home, been a part of Hueytown. Let's talk a little bit about being a part of the football program. Coached, worked the chains.
Yep.
And then Jake started playing.
That's right. You know, we started the little league. I helped a guy coach the first year, and then the next year they asked me if I would take the team. So I stayed with them all the way up till they left, going to the middle school. And I stayed back even after he went to the middle school, helping with the little league program. I love that sport. I love it more than anything. And it teaches you so much, about yourself and life lessons that you'll have later on in life. You've already learned how to cope with some of those things through that sport. But after he left the high school, I started pulling chains. And
you love that chain. You love it, don't you?
Absolutely love it. Missed it one time, one year when I was sick and couldn't. And I remember stepping back on the field the next season, man, it was
something about it.
It was.
Absolutely. Well, I feel the same way.
Yes, sir.
You know me. I've been a part of a lot of high school football, so I feel this. There's nothing like.
That's right.
In fact, I do the play-by-play now for Helena. And I always get to the – and even if I was doing a game sideline and I've done TV, radio, I get to the field early, the stadium early, and I just like to walk the field.
Absolutely.
Before anybody gets out there.
Yep.
There's just something about it, especially if it's a big game.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if it's a big game. Jake and the seniors really kind of came along at a good time because the program had suffered. It struggled. The
perfect
turnaround
storm.
They made. Yep. The coach's name was Coach
– Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith. Mm-hmm. I told this to Jake. And I'll share it again. I was doing sideline. It was Hueytown Homewood. And he would be sweating and tense before kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
He was ready to go. Some coaches want to talk. Some coaches don't. And I was doing sideline. So they said, hey, can you – they're in the booth. And they get in my ear and say, hey, can you get an interview with Coach Smith before kickoff? And I go, he's not going to want to talk to me. I can tell you. I mean, I'm telling you. Well, let's just try. We want to get on something. We want to make sure. And I was like, okay. All right. So let's try. And I remember going up to him and saying, hey, Coach – Jamie Gilmore, best in high school football. Can I get a word with you? I can't talk right now. I got a football game. I can't talk right now. I said, hey, we'll do it at the end of the game. I talked to him at the end of the game. He could have been nicer. But he was so intense. But did such a good job. It really turned the program and set the stage, I think, for a lot of the success they're having now.
I totally agree. I don't know of another coach, other than my own years ago, that – could even hold a candle to the work ethic that he had as a coach, as not just coaching the kids, but things that he did around the school itself and in the field. I mean, he was always doing something. Super, super good guy and great coach.
Seems like a good mentor too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, a huge fan. I thought he did a good job. And of course, Jake talked about it on the episode. We've talked about it many times. Hueytown was so close that year, that Hoover game.
Gosh.
If you just could have, if the guy catches the ball.
That's the ball game. Right,
right there,
You're exactly right. To come back from such a deficit. I mean, everybody thought, well, they're just going to get blown away.
Yeah.
And then it was like they said, okay, guys, we've got this. And they just came together as a team because that's how they played, was a team. And, man, they came roaring back and almost had that game.
And I think you look
at
that
they win the state
championship. That's what I told Jack. I said, this team, if they beat Hoover, it's state champion. The most impressive, I did that game. And I always love doing games, the Met big games, because when you do a game there, if it's full, it's 10,000 people. And the noise is awesome. And they got a big vision screen. It's like a real big-time game. And I remember being on the sidelines, and I'm looking around, and it's sold out. But 75% of the crowd was Hueytown.
Absolutely.
I mean, Hueytown showed out that night.
Yep.
They all came in droves.
I remember this sign that Tracy made before they left and had it down there over the field house.
Yeah.
You remember that movie, Remember the Titans? Well, this big sign she had to make them remember the night they played the Gophers. I mean, and I'm going to tell you how prophetic that was.
Oh, yeah.
Because, man.
What a great game.
It was.
Great
it was
game.
Awesome.
So you've been in the community football. We've talked about you. Now let's talk about what made you go, you know what? I think I can do this mayor thing. How'd that come about?
Actually, there were some friends that came to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about running for mayor? And I said, actually, I haven't. My little sister used to kid me all the time. You need to run for mayor. You need to run for mayor. And I mean, I'd let it go in one ear and out the other. And so, when that was brought to me, I thought, you know what? Maybe so. And then my mom got sick, and she actually came to live with us. And I was like, hey, I can't do that. My main priority is her, right now. But then she got better, and the next time it rolled around, they asked again. I said, you know what, I believe I will. And just kind of went from there. And I wasn't running against anybody.
Yeah.
And I said that from the get-go. I'm not a politician. I'm just a local undertaker that wanted to get in here and just share my vision of where I thought the city needed to be.
Yeah.
And that was my platform. I wasn't running against anybody. I was running for my idea of Hueytown and what it could be. Because I love this city. I always have. When Tracy and I first got married, we lived in Vancouver, Washington.
Wow.
And
okay.
thought that's where we would be. And the closer it got to us, starting our family, I was like, I want to go back home. I want to raise my family in Hueytown. That was my home. And so I talked her into that, and we moved back here, and that's been, 30 something years, I guess. So,
and your first, bid, there was a runoff, so it wasn't like it was clear cut.
There was three of us.
It was a runoff. Actually, you had to, and that's got to be as a person. That's got to be the very nerve wracking. Okay, good. I'm in the spot, but man, I got to do this all over again.
Right. You put so much into it, and I needed like 60 something votes that first time for it not to have been a runoff. Yeah. And I thought, well, golly, I gave it everything I had. Maybe this isn't meant to be, but you went back out there, and then I wound up getting more votes for the runoff than I did in the beginning. So it was really neat.
It's funny, and I tell the story all the time. Brendan Myrick.
Yes.
Drove a van for me at the Boys and Girls Club for years, and she would give me updates. There wasn't a bigger fan for you as mayor than Brenda.
I loved her.
And she would say, well, I think we got a shot. We're going to do this. She ran years ago.
She did.
And
That's
she
right.
was beaten by the gentleman that you were running against. So she was not a fan.
Right.
And so she was doing everything that she could.
Yes.
And no, she was a sweet lady. She passed away a couple years ago.
She did.
For COVID.
Right.
But, unfortunately, don't get me started. Yeah. But such a sweet lady. I remember her being a part of that going, you know what? She's your biggest fan.
Yeah. I've known Brenda. She's known me since I came in the world, And I could remember walking her mother's house, and I think that's where they all grew up, was down right across from it. It used to be William and Sons Shell Station, right before you cross the railroad tracks where Bethlehem Methodist Church is. And that was where her mom lived. And I remember walking down there with my grandmother when I was a little kid, going to her house. And she was the sweetest lady. I mean, you felt like one of her grandkids, too,
Oh, she was awesome.
Super nice family.
She went to Parkwood Church of God.
Yep.
She was very Pentecostal. I grew up Parkwood Church of God, so I knew how Pentecostal she was. And it was great. Such a sweet lady. Gone, way too soon.
I agree.
But she, again, when I think about you and her, and I remember she was so happy that you became mayor.
She's one of the first people to call me.
I told you. I mean, she loved it. So since you've been in office, so many good things have happened. I really wish we could have mic'd us for at we could have had this conversation, this mic'd up at City Fest.
Oh, gosh.
Because we spent about there was a big long break, and I don't know whose idea that was, but there was a lot of downtime in the middle part of the day. Great event, a lot of downtime. So we were sitting under the foyer out there. Gavin was there. And I'm sitting there going, man, it's hot, and I don't know if I can do this for 3 hours. Where can I go? I'm in my car, man. And all of a sudden, hold on a minute, hospitality room. There's air conditioning. There's a couch.
That's right.
There's drinks. Okay, y'all can see me when it's time for me to go back on stage. I'm headed out there. We must have spent 3 hours in there talking.
Every bit of it.
I mean, was
every
it not?
Bit of it. And it went by like that.
Oh, it was like it was so easy. And I remember we had the crew that was running the stage. Mayor Ware and myself got an education in music
and
stories. I can't share them with you, but it was awesome. I wish we could have mic'd it that night.
I know it.
It would have been great.
It would have.
But That's such a great event, and that's kind of happened under your watch, and there's so many good things going on. That park is so awesome.
I love it. And to think this thing, City Fest, started from we got a notice from the state that just a few months after I took office, there was a bicentennial celebration for the state, and they wanted each town to put on some kind of, you know, party for it, so to speak. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And actually, I was talking to Jake one night about it. And I said, hey, you know, how about chairing something like that, you know, and let's get that going. And so, you know, he did. And then it went from that little committee to we formed the Hueytown Arts Council. And it has just been unbelievable. Debbie Kiker was instrumental in helping him, you know, talk to the right people and getting that organized. And then all the people that have been on the Arts Council and still are just phenomenal people that love this city too and work so hard to make this. I mean, they had a meeting yesterday, already starting on 2024. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a year-long process of meeting and just – you know, sharing ideas with one another. And then this park down here, you know, that was originally, I think, they wanted to build a city hall there. Well, you know, we didn't really need a new city hall.
Well, how many city halls do you need? City halls, yeah, it's fine.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with
and
it.
And how many
whatsoever.
People can enjoy city hall? Just the people that work in it, right?
Absolutely, that's it. How many conversations have you know, hey, you know, I really love so-and-so town. Yeah. They've got the best city hall I've ever seen. Yeah. You know,
but people love parks.
Absolutely, because it's something you can go with your family and enjoy it. Just like City Fest, their tree lighting ceremony. Awesome. I want to tell you, that was the first major gathering we had there. Yeah. And everything in my mind that I had pictured that to be, looking out over all those people, it was, you know, I mean, I'm one of these guys, my emotions are on my sleeve anyway, but it was hard to, you know, stand
I was
there
yeah.
And, yeah, and yeah. see all those people. And now I just put a lump in your throat because that's what you want. That's what you want your community to be, a community, like one big family.
Do you feel like you're done or is there still stuff you want to do?
I've got a lot of things that I've started that I haven't finished yet.
Okay.
And that's one thing that I want to do. I want to finish what I started and then hand it over to somebody and say, here it is.
Yeah.
You know, here's the baton. Yeah. Keep it going.
Hay's in the barn, but I want you to keep it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can take that for what it's worth. Could be a third term. You know, we're not saying anything. We're not saying for sure, but take it for what it's worth. He's still got some stuff he wants to do.
Every I hasn't been dotted and T crossed just yet.
Well, listen, you've done a great job. I think most people are going to say that and
I
agree with
so.
That.
I've tried. I've tried so hard. And I'll tell you something else I'm not ashamed to say either. I daily seek divine intervention, you know, to help me, show me the way with this. Because, like I said, I love the city. I love the people here. And just want Hueytown to just blossom like the beautiful rose that it is. I mean, I think it's I think we're kind of a well-kept secret on this side of Jefferson County.
It's an oasis.
It is. It absolutely is. And I want that to get out so people know that and understand it and appreciate it for what she is.
When your communities and your cities, I think, are at their best, especially smaller ones that aren't as big, I think they're at their best when it's a family.
Absolutely.
And you know, and what that means is families sometimes have problems. Families aren't always get along. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, I can mess with my family. But you better not say a word.
Absolutely.
Because I got your back
real quick.
That's
exactly right.
And I think that's what a family is.
I agree.
And I think you've got that in Hueytown. And I think Hueytown will continue to grow under your leadership and what you're doing. And I had a friend of mine that lives in Homewood. And he said, well, I've got some friends coming over this weekend. What are you doing? Well, I said, well, I've got to MC my fifth event in a row this month. So I can't. He goes, well, y'all do a lot of events. We don't do that much. And that's Homewood.
Yeah.
A lot of events. So, I mean, the things that the Hueytown's got going on and continues to do, it's very impressive.
Well,
and you're leading the charge, so you deserve all the credit for that.
I want to lead from the front, not the rear. I just love this place. Homewood's nice, Hoover's nice.
Yeah, but, sure, it's nice.
But Hueytown's home.
It's like going on vacation. That's nice to visit.
That's right.
I don't mind going to get a meal there.
But it's not home.
But I'm heading back home. That's Can't wait till I get there. Cameron, do you have a question? Because you've been very talkative. I hadn't been able to get one word in because you haven't stopped talking the whole time.
I don't really have a question, but more of a similarity thing. You said you rented an apartment on Ray Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on Ray Avenue.
Did you really?
It was the first time we moved to Oak Grove.
You know the little red apartments, the long apartments? We lived in number one.
They painted it white.
Yes, they did. That's exactly right. They have.
But we just recently moved to Linwood.
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
The future of tomorrow is sitting right here.
Right there. Absolutely. Hey, and from what I see, the future's bright.
Looking good. Yeah, because they give their time, and we greatly appreciate it.
I mean, how many young people like this would be sitting here with us old geezers?
Exactly. Well, you know, well, hold on a second.
Spending their time.
Well, let's oh, hey, hold on a second. I don't know, but old. Come on now. But you know what? I will say this. This is a great – if I would have been at their age having a chance to do a podcast, because I, you know, imagine this. You couldn't shut me up back then. Can't shut me up now. I'd have been looking for anybody to give me a mic and an opportunity. So before we let you go, we got to play the game that we love the most called Five Questions.
It's okay. Just
five random questions. I have no idea. Cameron, you're going to ask one of them because you've yet to ask a question. So get yourself ready.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm going to ask. It just pops in my head. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're good. Most of the time they're not. But let's just go ahead and go with it. Favorite kind of jelly? If you're going PBJ, what jelly do you do?
Oh, great.
It's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
I got to an argument today about strawberry, how strawberry is better. And I just wanted to smack him a little bit. Come on. It's grape. It's not close.
Had he had COVID and lost taste buds?
Exactly. I think that's what happened. What do you think, Cameron? Grape or strawberry?
I'm not a jelly person.
Oh, stop talking.
No, listen. My mom's a jelly person.
What do you think? You're not a – are you a communist? How are you not a jelly person?
I don't know. Like, okay, I won't – okay.
What do you put on PBJ?
I kind of never really had one before.
Oh, somebody give me oxygen.
I would never make them myself.
This generation here.
Okay, I had to say grape jelly because.
Well, that's good. That's a good step. You're trying to recover a little bit.
Breakfast food my mom does, and I only dip like sausage in grape jelly, and that's it. Nothing else.
Okay.
But I'll also eat Crustables.
Well, that's peanut butter and jelly. Dip
your sausage in grape jelly.
Yeah.
High five to you. I do that too, along with bacon.
But a Crustable is a peanut butter and jelly, Cameron.
Okay.
That's right.
I would never make my own peanut butter and jelly. I don't like it.
Moving right along, Mary. I know you're a big country music fan.
Yes.
You like some old country music.
Yes.
You could see one person perform.
George Jones.
Okay. Not even close.
Not even.
You've seen him before?
I did. I was actually able to see him at the Alabama Theater just a few years before he passed away. It was absolutely wonderful. When I was in high school, I was known for that. I mean, you could have gotten in. I just happened to drive my dad's truck. I know that sounds like a country song. But anyway, you would always find a George Jones cassette in there.
Wow.
I loved him.
Now, I saw George Jones one time. It was 9:45 on a Sunday night at City Stages.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, I can remember. And the crowd wasn't huge. It was late. Sunday night. So it was a bunch of crowd. But I'm sitting there going, this is awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Because
I'd never seen him before, never seen him since. I was like, he was so good, so funny. Such a talented guy. Old school country, it doesn't get any better than that.
Mm-mm, no.
Real music, it's better than the pretty boy country. I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm not a fan.
I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
Bubblegum country is just not for me. That's what I call it.
All right, so dream city that you would like to visit that you've never visited before.
Dream city that I would like to visit. I would have to probably say Hollywood, California. And the reason I'd want to see that is
because you want to audition and get your acting career started.
Absolutely. How did you get? Hey, that'd be the next podcast.
There you go. The next podcast. Steve Ware tackles Hollywood.
But, you know, I've just always seen like documentaries and stuff of you know, the Hollywood, what is that, Walk of Fame that goes in front of the Chinese Theater. You know, places like that some of the. And there again, I'm an old actor-loving kind of guy. You know, John Wayne's another one. I mean, hey, I don't care what kind of movie his is on. If I walk through the house and it's on, I'm stopping right then and watching the rest of it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I agree.
But Hollywood.
Okay. I will say this. It's a very laid-back. I've been there.
Oh, wow.
It's very laid-back. The weather's great. But you have to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
And it takes forever to get from one side of it to the other. But I'll say this. I drove in rush hour in L.A., and I drove in rush hour multiple times in Atlanta. Atlanta's worse than L.A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and how much I hate L.A. traffic.
Ooh.
I mean, can you imagine?
I'd like to go there, but somebody else drive.
All right, so are you a morning person, evening person, night person? What part of the day is your favorite?
I'd have to say probably the evening.
Okay, so like about 3 or 4 o'clock, getting off work, that's your favorite time?
Till dark, yeah, that's usually.
With that being said, are you kind of a little cranky in the morning? Does it take you a second to get a cup of coffee?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably not the most pleasant person in the morning. Yeah.
So Tracy, she would agree with that.
She probably would. Yeah.
Well, I'm a morning person. I'm pretty chipper in the morning. Mm-hmm. I wake up pretty excited. I look at it as, you know what? Oh, it's a battle won.
Yeah.
I'm already one up.
Well, I'm just putting my bullets together for the battle.
When I get to this evening, though, I'm ready to go. All right. So, Cameron, you got the fifth and final question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So ready. Okay. Would you rather own a beach house or a cabin in the woods?
Cabin in the woods.
Okay. I would too.
Okay. I mean, is that
I love the beach.
Is that close though? Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah. But a cabin in the woods to me, man, I love the woods.
I do too.
I love to hunt. I don't have time to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I love the just being out there, you know, in nature, hearing nothing, no cell phone, just birds, wind. Man, I can relax and get my mind clear. Some of the best thinking I've done is there.
I could see that. For me, it's not. I'm not necessarily a hunter, but like my Irish skin at the beach sometimes doesn't do very well. And then not to mention that the peacefulness that you have when you're in the mountains. Yeah. There's something like nobody's bothering you. It's
That's
just
right.
great. When you go to sleep at night, you hear everything.
Yep.
You see the stars.
That's right.
It's just awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, Mayor Ware, we can't thank you enough for joining us on Chamber Chat. We're going to get you back one day.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me, and I apologize it's taking so long to get here, but I've totally enjoyed it, and I'd love to come back.
We'd love to have you. It's been worth the wait. So, ladies and gentlemen, our go-home song, we're going to keep it summer, a little Summer 69 by Bryan Adams. We hope you enjoy, and thank you so much for listening to Chamber Chat.
Got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime, played it till my fingers bled.